Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for coming this evening. As Father Burnaby said, my name is Father Gruber, coming from Pittsburgh, and I especially wanted to be able to share with you this new apostolate. We're starting there, but in various places around the country and around the world, called Mothers for Priests. This image was painted by Renata Rohn, a Pittsburgh-based artist, but one who has done work in Rome, as well as there is apparently a new church being built in Texas that will have the largest dome of any church in the United States, and Renata Rohn is painting it. And still more elaborate than this painting, she's doing it based off of the Book of Revelation. So that is going to be a big project as well. In the meantime, though, she painted this. I had a meeting with her briefly, and I wish I could show you the picture of what I actually provided for this image. We said, well, we needed our Blessed Mother here, and then priests, a bunch of X's, and a bunch of O's here, circles, to show what we needed. And she started sketching it with such vivid detail that the original sketch at this little diner was nearly, and all the essential details, what this painting became after another year's worth of intermittent work. We unveiled this July 16th of last year, so as to celebrate Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The Carmelites have a special devotion to pray for priests. We thought it was appropriate, and it was finally done. This is actually a replica. As beautiful as this replica turned out, this is actually the painting, this a print of the original painting, that original in Pittsburgh. And I'd like to explain some of the symbolism involved with this, because it's really, as a picture is worth 1,000 words, so much is packed into this picture about what the Mothers for Priests is about. So we have this burst of light coming from God the Father. We have the Lamb of God, God the Son, and the Dove of the Holy Spirit. We have the glorious cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Blessed Mother summoning all these mothers to prayer. We have the flowing water reminiscent of Lourdes. And over here, the abyss of hell reminiscent of what the children saw at Fatima. But it shows in this dramatic image here, kind of, one priest put it, that it is in this dramatic tension, all the good, the light that's on this side, and then the darkness on that side. So these mothers are summoned to prayer. They're praying before this beautiful rose bush where our Blessed Mother is, and praying their rosaries, obtaining grace from God through our Blessed Mother, mediatrix of all graces. The light is coming forth from God. An answer to a prayer. Our Lady, with her hands upheld, is like the Oron's position the priest uses at Mass, and is in a way directing the light down through. And we see the light going all the way down across the image to this priest who's most in danger, very much on the edge of the abyss, allured away by this dark, evil spirit, trying to get him to crawl out towards the edge, and the light touches his heel in the sign of hope that even for one as that there is that hope, that he who once was like that little boy stretching his hand out to our Blessed Mother can once, and now stretching his hand out to the evil spirit, could repent, could just sprint through this line and come again to our Blessed Mother. Come like this cardinal did, relieved that he finally made it, and praying devotedly. You can see amongst the mothers, we have mothers of different styles of clothing, different ages, wealthy, like this woman who has this beautiful blouse, or simple and poor, young and old, of all different time periods. It's trying to evoke the universality of motherhood and the need universally for mothers to pray for priests, along with their little children, guided in prayer, especially like this young mother who is just the expectant mother, so even already a mother and devoted in prayer. they're praying for the priests. Some priests are in the front line and very devout themselves. In the book of Revelation, it describes how a third of the stars fall from the sky when the tail of the dragon tosses them down. And a third of the priests, who are supposed to be like stars in the sky lighting our way, the third of the priests are in danger, especially struggling and suffering. The priests are of all different religious orders and ranks of clergy, from cardinals to the bishop here, sort of a controversial figure because the bishop is actually placed a little bit close to the abyss himself, and he's only shrugging his shoulders. What's a bishop to do? There are some priests that are devout, good for them, but there are some priests that are very much in trouble, and right in front of him, this priest is teetering here on the edge. The light that comes to the one man passes through the rosary. To highlight the rosary is so important for prayer, for priests, and for priests to pray the rosary. Another stream of light comes to highlight the breviary, the liturgy of the hours, the prayer book for priests. When a priest is in trouble with his bishop in some scandal or wants to leave, to give up on priestly ministry, they say the first thing a good bishop will ask that priest is, when did you stop praying the breviary? Because if he gave up on that important pillar of prayer in his life, then he is likely to fall into trouble. And this priest is callously just leaving it down, not even noticing. Whereas this priest, devotedly, is praying his prayers. And many are praying the rosary. Another ray of light goes through the rosary here. This mother is holding through the heart of this mother, cradling both her little child and holding her rosary, through the heart of this little boy here, and through the praying hands of the devout Dominican, down through the devout mind of the praying Franciscan, contemplating the cross and the shadow of the cross right in front of him, and touching his prayer book, but more importantly even, hitting upon the purple stole, the confessional stole. This priest, if you could almost read his expression here, is saying to his brother priest, hold back, let me hear your confession. I can give you absolution. You don't have to be in that spiritual danger. But he's inadvertently just unpaying attention, disregarding this. He's kind of has his vertigo on the edge of the abyss. You notice the devout priests, we have only Dominicans toward the front row because we need to get the Dominicans to help spread this. So they're only safely praying. Franciscans are around, various orders. The more tend to be, though this is a young priest who's in clerics, the priests tend to be wearing cassocks, and the only one really in short sleeves is one close to the abyss. Not to comment on clerical attire, but there is something about the symbol of the attire as an expression of the intensity of their priestly ministry in this painting. That's a symbolism being used here, that there's something that is casual, but all too casual about the priest who's forgotten to attend to the cross and to our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit and to the Lamb, to adore the Lamb. So that's some of the drama of the image. This is the great cloud of witnesses. These are little children, like the little children of these mothers who may have already died and is yet in this cloud of witnesses, also praying in support of them and for the priests, as well as some who are victim souls, victims of Holocaust and victims of expiation, special vocations of intensity of prayer and suffering, praying for reparation for sin. As part of the drama of it, I'd like to explain the brochure. I hope all mothers can get even a few of these to give to other mothers, some and more to prayer. The first thing in this is what we also have on the back of the postcard image, is the daily prayer for the mothers, for priests who are struggling and suffering. It's a simple daily prayer. It's beautiful. It's about uniting the maternal hearts of these mothers, of all mothers, with the maternal heart of our Blessed Mother. In baptism, we are united with Jesus in a special way, so we have his Father as our Father, his Blessed Mother as our Blessed Mother. and for also all the sacraments. The more we're configured, the more we're united with Jesus, the more that we have a closeness to Mary. We're close to Mary as Jesus is close to us when we receive him in Holy Communion. The priest is especially configured to Christ, who is priest and victim. So our Blessed Mother looks upon these priests as her cherished sons and summons these mothers to share in her maternal concern. So we have different expressions of membership that are expressed in a train analogy. You get on at the first station. We want to get as many mothers aboard as we can to get on at the first station, just praying this prayer. And then the second station, for those who are ready, would add as well the litany of humility. Such a simple but powerful prayer, praying for the priests to be humble. And the daily sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, especially as the priests endure sorrows and have to be conformed to Christ as victim, they need the support of the mothers who are with our Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross, like those holy women accompanying our Lord in his passion. And then the first Friday stations of the cross. This could be in a communal way, or even if you just take the scenic route on your way out of church, you can stop by the lovely stations you have here and just stop for a moment and think on each one. You could do the St. Alphonsus Liguori stations, or they're beautiful, or even just that simple pause at each station to remember the passion of our Lord and offer that for priests who need special graces for them to pick up their crosses and persevere in their priestly ministry. Then at the third station, it has all the other prayers plus the daily prayer, doing that at least two times a day. And a special thing about the third station, for those who go that far, you need a spiritual director who would approve it. We're lining up spiritual directors who would help with this. But you'd have to commit to a weekly holy hour. We need 168 mothers at a minimum to be praying this holy hour, which would be making a spiritual wall along the edge of this abyss so that the priests are protected. Continual prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is needed. So across the country, across the world, across time zones, so we can schedule that so that you can come and pray before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, whether with exposition or hidden in the tabernacle to adore our Lord and their special prayers for that holy hour. And the incentive is, if you get that far, then we tell you what all those prayers are. There is a special chaplet of the Maternal Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you can't really be fully at that station until you've got the approval of your spiritual director, and then we'll send you instructions for that. But more and more prayer, intensity of prayer. This is, in a way, in continuity with this message of Fatima. It was 100 years ago, yet in this past 100 years, what have we had? Instead of a generous, thorough response to our Blessed Mother herself visiting her children and doing this great miracle of the Son and showing the truth of this visit, we've had a century of bloodshed, a century of the loss of faith. Can we respond more now than ever before, and especially for mothers, to pray for priests? There's something about a mother who can pray with a special compassion. You could have a son who gets in trouble with the law, who has great troubles in his marriage and relationship, but he's still your son, and a mother still always loves her son, no matter what. And we need that for priests. Priests that get this far to the abyss may do unfortunate sins, vices, but we need the maternal compassion that would pray for them, would love them in union with the love of our Blessed Mother. The fourth station is the ultimate kind of destination for some special mothers who would need a spiritual director, almost a full-time spiritual director for this. It's aiming at abnegation of the will and full docility to the Holy Spirit. At the fourth station, prayer for priests becomes all-consuming. So there's even more prayer, even more sacrifice, even greater intensity of holy obedience. You see that there's a few tensions in here between in the painting, again, between the gnarled, ugly, dead tree here and the upright tree, the radiant tree of the cross, between the mothers most devoted in prayer, representing that fourth station, and the opposite side, these priests that are most at the edge of the abyss. This one, almost forgotten, just very barely clinging to the edge. And one, though you can hardly see it in this replica, in the darkness, who's already fallen in. So there is a contrast on either side of the image. There is this beautiful scenic mountains here to this ugly, dark, Mordor-like setting on the far side of it. Does anyone have any questions, comments? Does everything make sense? It's so important we have this prayer. I want to share with you a few other things. Yes, Father Bernie. Sure. Well, sometimes we can underestimate or overestimate our own ability. And a spiritual director is an objective reference point who could say, are you really ready to commit to this weekly holy hour? Are you going to be able to do that? Not as likely in the same way with all these prayers as a young mother, but can you make sure that as a mother who's a wife, you're attending properly to your husband and your duties, your state in life? So some might say, oh yes, I want this, I want more and more, I'm in the fourth station. It's like, well, no, you can't run out, you have to be on the train, you can't run outside to get there. So it takes a kind of a judgment, a discernment that shouldn't be done alone. And that's why the spiritual director would help. The great classic on the spiritual life, on the Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, would say that all of us should have a spiritual director. It's hard, often hard to get one, and that's in a way an incentive with this, that we would offer a coordinating between those who are interested and available with spiritual directors, especially by the third and definitely into the fourth station, because then the most important thing we can offer to God is our own wills, that we let go. That's the one thing that we might cling to most. And it's hard to let go of our own wills if we're just doing what we want. The spiritual director helps you to know what God wants and then let go of your will to be more open to His. I'd like to talk with you in passing, in brief, about a couple other important initiatives in our time. This is a book, I only have a few of these, but if you're interested, for those who may not otherwise be able to look it up online, this is a book called The Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Elizabeth Kindelman was a mystic in the 20th century in Hungary. She was a wife, a mother, and later a widow. And in her final years, she had special locutions, Jesus and Our Blessed Mother speaking to her, and she grew in the life of prayer and has special messages from Our Blessed Mother that, in fact, are fully approved by her own bishop in Hungary. The Archbishop, Cardinal Erdo of Budapest, has given his imprimatur, his approval to her diary, and Archbishop Chaput has given his approval of the translation. So it's a splendid source for encouragement for our times, and guidance for prayer for this woman who herself was a wife and mother and later a widow. But it's really for anyone. The encouraging thing is about this flame of love that Our Blessed Mother promises that at some point shall be that this flame of love from her Immaculate Heart, this special grace from her adoration of the wounds of our Lord, this light would erupt in the world and it would blind Satan. And then for some clarity, everyone would see something of their sins and their consequences, and they would have this freedom from the devil so as to repent. For when we sin, there is, behind every mortal sin, there is a devil. Not that the devil made us do it, but that the devil gains power over us when we give him power, when we do what he wants. And he definitely wants us to sin and sin mortally. So God doesn't force our free will. He doesn't drag us out of mortal sin. We have to choose it in response to grace. And so it can be a special weight lifted all at once that this light, the flame of love, would blind Satan and allow all sinners in the world to have a chance to be freed. And there are special promises for those who would pray devotedly in the church in honor of the flame of love and that special protection for the whole parish, for at least having some that would pray in the church at that for that hour that the person prays. So we have some copies of this book. This is just a summary form, and you can read more about this online. And any questions on that? Yes. Okay. That's a fair comment. We're almost done. Any other thoughts and questions? I wish I could talk with you more about the Legion of Mary, but just encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to consider joining, even as an auxiliary member. It's another great way to fulfill the new evangelization in our time. And weekly meeting, weekly work, it's demanding, but it's fruitful. So all sorts of things to we could speak about, but indeed, we're supposed to have a meal. I hope that this is helpful. Father Burnaby?
Because we're preparing for Our Lady of Fatima, since the 100th anniversary,
yes.
What is it that you think we're from a rural parish? What is it that there's something that you think that we should gain from the message of Fatima that would really help us to be prepared to see our Lord be more victorious in our parish, or to see the Blessed Virgin Mary more loved and known? What is it that Our Lady of Fatima spoke that you think would be most helpful for us being at the 100 years?
It matters immensely that our Blessed Mother went to the out-of-way place. No one knew where Fatima, Portugal was before Our Lady appeared there. It wasn't even in Lisbon. It wasn't in any place of significance on a map. It wasn't even in the main part of their town. The town was this small town, and it was in the rural parts outside of the town, in this open field. Our Blessed Mother shows, even just by visiting such a place, that even the most remote and smallest community and the youngest little child has immense significance for the world, immense significance to her Immaculate Heart, that it's not about the biggest. It's typically actually the weakest, the strongest, the most remote, those who have least influence in the world that can have the greatest influence. So that is a great encouragement for even a place that feels so small and out of the way. That's where our Blessed Mother visited. That's what Nazareth itself was in the first century Israel. Does anything good come from Nazareth, as it were? And so likewise in Fatima, our Blessed Mother goes out of her way to choose the weak and the small. And we should rejoice to be amongst those so that we can be close to our Blessed Mother. And our Blessed Mother calling for prayer, for repentance, the prayer of the rosary, offering of sacrifices, that for the first Saturdays in particular, I don't think I printed out the first Saturdays, a pamphlet for that, but I'll leave some copies with Father Burnaby. There's some simple things to be done. Monthly confession, so that you can receive Holy Communion on the first Saturdays and offer that reparation to her Immaculate Heart, praying the rosary in 15 minutes of meditation. They're very simple things, but they're so often neglected and forgotten. I know our Blessed Mother knows that the smallest things are what matter, and that we should have love in the smallest things. So I hope that you can respond ever more fervently to that call of Our Lady of Fatima, and whether that of 100 years ago ever still more relevant, even as the Fatima children are being canonized tomorrow, two of them, Francesco and Jacinta, and also for hopefully even here we can get a great response. Imagine if we could get not just a few, though a few here and there, a few from every parish. We could have thousands, tens of thousands, over a million mothers praying for priests. It might seem immense. You might face a priest that disappoints you, frustrates you, angers you. Priests themselves are not allowed to give up on anyone. And so neither should the faithful give up on your priests. They need your help. They're poor sinners, fallen men, who by the grace of God are exalted to a position that requires great responsibility and will require a great accountability before God. So pray for your priests, love your priests, for it's what our Blessed Mother wants, and pray the Holy Rosary. And join. And if you're interested, please take the next step to sign up. Send an email to mfp@priest.com. We have that so that we can keep you in the loop about greater developments and help you along the way in this prayer and equip you with more resources if you want more of these sent to you. Yeah. This is only available in English right here, but I do have copies of it in Spanish that I will also send to Father Burnaby. We'll have in the back of the church with the pamphlet rack, and that will be available as well. Okay, well, so eat. Feel free to take a look at the image too. Yep. Sure. Love to invoke our Blessed Mother as the Immaculate Conception, the patroness of the United States. Back there are those little prayer cards about that. It pleases our Blessed Mother so much that we should invoke her as our patroness, and to encourage you to take that and use that as well. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through Mary, the Immaculate Conception, patroness of the United States, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.